Hello, and welcome to Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we'll be watching, or talking about, the 2014 horror film Starry Eyes, directed by Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Widmeyer. I should know how to pronounce these things. We'll also be discussing the newly released 2016 thriller Sacrifice, directed by Peter A. Dowling. But first, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
The first of our trailers today is The Bye Bye Man, directed by Stacey Tile, due to be released in theaters January 13th. So, female director, Carly.
I know. I've never seen anything else that she has been involved with.
Come on. You never saw Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror?
I sure haven't.
It's a... I kind of want to see Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror. I'm not going to watch
it. I would absolutely watch it. Without a doubt.
Who doesn't want to watch that? I love Snoop Dogg. She's mostly done small release movies. They're not like... No big time anything. What did you think of this trailer? Because I'm kind of want to trash talk it. I'm not going to lie.
I thought it looked very generic. It was very dark.
Yeah.
I found myself trying to when I was watching it, I was moving around in my chair, trying to get a better vantage point until I just realized that the trailer is just really dark.
Yeah, I had the same issue. Maybe if you're in a dark room when you watch it. Because
like a theater.
Yeah, I did see the trailer originally in the theater, and no, I don't think so. I don't think this is for me. Maybe it's good. I just don't think it's for me. It has kind of a sinister kind of look to it in terms of the CGI of it.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that Carrie Ann Moss, who is Trinity in The Matrix, and then Faye Dunaway are in it. Which, I don't know, I guess I would watch it. I have $6 Wednesdays, though. I would not pay full price to see this movie.
Yeah, maybe a matinee, perhaps.
Yeah.
yeah, I like to watch almost every horror movie that comes out in the theater. So maybe I'm not going to say I'm not going to see it, but I don't know. I don't have high hopes for it. I think
no,
it looks
me either.
Boring. Yeah, they seem like they show a little too much, and the bye-bye man himself doesn't look scary at all.
No, he doesn't. And the poster is very reminiscent of Jeepers Creepers to me for some reason.
Yeah, it does. So, I don't know. My guess is that's not good. But
yeah, it definitely missed the mark for me as well.
I think so. But again, we can only tell so much from trailers. We just like to trash talk them. They're fun.
Exactly.
The second trailer we're going to talk about is Shut In, directed by Farron Blackburn, due to be released in theaters November 11th. TV director. He did episodes of Doctor Who and Daredevil, but not much in terms of movies. He has another film coming out soon that's called Dream On, which is a golf drama comedy dramedy film.
Honestly, Doctor Who and Daredevil episodes would be enough to get me on board because both of those things are great. I liked this trailer. It made me want to see the movie. Jacob Tremblay is awesome. And if you have seen Room, you know that he's a phenomenal actor and he creeped me out in this movie. Actually, you know what's funny? His little sister is in The Bye Bye Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's fun.
Bunch of children actors. Yeah. I also think Shut In looks pretty good. I mean, it looks a little bit derivative, I guess. There's some little things, but there's always going to be that in Hollywood horror movies. Let's be honest. They just always are stealing from each other and doing the same things over and over again. But it looks like a fairly creative concept. A woman with a invalid son takes in another kid whose family died. What is she, a psychologist or something?
It seems like a child psychologist.
A child psychologist, and she decides to take him in because he has no family, and then something happens, he runs away and then turns into a ghost or something. I don't know. It looks good enough to watch.
I'd watch it. I like Naomi Watts, and we've got, of course, Charlie Heaton, who is Jonathan in Stranger Things.
Oh,
who plays the invalid child.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I didn't even recognize that was him.
Yeah, I was like, that kid looks familiar. And I was like, oh, because I just binge watched Stranger Things. So that makes sense.
As you should. It's the only way to watch Stranger Things.
I agree. And I really like Oliver Platt.
I love Oliver Pratt.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. Every time I see him, I'm like, Beethoven. I think Beethoven, first thing.
I totally think of Lake Placid.
That too. Weren't we just talking about Lake Placid? I mean,
we talked about it last night. Yeah. I was like, ooh, Oliver Platt. I like that guy.
Is it Platt or Pratt?
Platt with a PL.
Oh, I wrote Pratt. I suck. Okay.
It was late. It was late when we were
it
doing
it. It was late when I wrote that. Sorry, Oliver Platt. I'm bad. Okay. Well, anyway, I think that's enough talking about those, but just some things to look for, guys. Okay, so let's start the talk with Starry Eyes. I absolutely adore this movie.
It's so good.
I absolutely adore it, and watching it a second time just made me like it even more. It's two directors, which you don't see too often, Kevin and Dennis. They kind of just looks like they've directed multiple things together, and they tend to come as a package deal.
Yeah, they direct and write. They just did an episode of Scream 2, or Scream, the second season of Scream, I guess.
Yeah.
Not Scream 2.
We know what you meant.
But yeah, they are a writer-director team from right here in L.A. And I agree with you. Upon second viewing, I like this movie even more. I totally forgot how brutal the end was.
Yeah.
The payoff for this movie is so great.
I agree. I love how it's very slow burning, but holds your interest throughout. And then like the last half hour, it's just super brutal and crazy. So much body horror. It's my most favorite. I love it. I'm like, yes, tear those fingernails out. I'm a crazy sadistic bitch. I can't explain it.
I was literally watching this movie, and when like certain things happened, I was like, oh, Amy's cheering in her on her couch right now.
It's what makes me a crazy person. I'm okay with it. I've come to embrace it. So yeah, I mean, I can't say enough great things about this film. I'm a little bit sad looking into the future, because I don't see Kevin and Dennis doing anything new. At least not on IMDb. Nothing's listed as in production or anything, which is super disappointing. They did one episode of Scream and then goodbye. I don't like it. They did this film in 2014. They should have something in the works. This film's great.
They did Holidays. They did a couple segments for Holidays. But I agree. I definitely am excited to see more from this awesome team.
Yeah, you saw Holidays. Did you like the Valentine's Day segment that they did? I didn't see it.
Honestly, it wasn't my favorite. I wasn't really into Holidays as a whole, though. I didn't really like it as a full movie. But yeah, maybe we can talk about that.
We'll get to that eventually.
Eventually.
But
they wrote another segment as well, which I think I liked a lot more. Mm-hmm. I think they did a New Year's Eve one as well.
Oh, okay.
So.
The actress who plays Sarah, the main character Sarah, Alex Esso, is phenomenal in this. So talented. She has like, this is going to come out wrong and sound terrible, but she has the face to be a horror final girl always. Doesn't
she? Absolutely. I totally agree.
Like, I don't mean it as an insult. It's just something about her like bone structure in her face and how long her face is, because she can look super creepy and also extremely beautiful, like simultaneously. And there's just something about that. Like, she has like a creepy vibe, but she can also like, she's also very lean and beautiful and all those things.
Yeah, and it's great because she can play really vulnerable, but then like at the end, when she was like completely decrepit and like dying, essentially, I believed that she was like strong enough to take these people down. So like she can play both sides of the spectrum very well.
I feel like she was three different characters throughout this film. The beginning, the middle, and the end. They're all very different versions of the same person. Mm-hmm. And I thought she was just so phenomenal. The other acting was decent. I'd say the only acting that was kind of strange was the dude that worked for Astraeus, the guy that auditioned her.
The, like, cheesy one?
Yes.
Yeah. He seemed out of place, for sure.
He did, but then when I read more about it, I was like, well, maybe they did. They had him act like that on purpose, because apparently the scene that, when during her second audition, when they turn all the lights off, make her get naked, and start flashing lights at her, apparently that's, like, something David Lynch did to somebody during their audition.
Oh, so
if you even, like, listen to his voice, he talks kind of similarly to David Lynch. I wonder if that's, like, something he was playing around with as a character. But
I thought he was funny. Like, he was. One of my favorite parts is when she's in for the first audition and she's, like, on the floor, kind of, like, convulsing, and they both kind of, like, lean over the audition table and, like, look down at her at the same time.
Yeah, the woman, though, I'm sorry, I apologize, I don't have her name up, but the other woman who did the auditions, she was in Southbound, if you saw Southbound.
Maria Olson.
She also has a great face for horror. She's got, like, a little weird, creepy, cool vibe.
She's also in Paranormal Activity 3, credited as the creepy lady.
She plays a good creepy lady. Phenomenal. I'm not gonna lie. It's not a bad niche to have, man. I'll take it.
That's fun. It looks like she has a ton of stuff coming up end of this year and next year.
I don't doubt it. I feel crazy. Like they've been using her a lot lately. I've seen her in a lot of stuff lately. So that's
she's
great.
She's a busy lady.
Southbound. That's another one we got to do, man.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's talk about the music in this movie, because it's fucking awesome.
So great.
Again, I feel like every single episode we do where we like a movie, we're like, it's kind of like Carpenter-esque, you know? It's like, it totally is, though.
Because it just gives that good vibe.
It's very good. Someone did a very good job on it. Again, I should probably know the names of people that do these things. I'm really good at this. Okay, let's see. Did you notice the title card on this film? It was like weird and old school. Like,
I think
Starry Eyes, just like a blank screen, Starry Eyes, and then it had like the little like thing underneath that says, I don't remember what it said exactly, but it was, I don't know, it looked very old school. I don't know, it struck me as kind of strange.
I didn't
old school Hollywood type title card, which I guess kind of goes along with it. She has all those old Hollywood actresses on her wall. So, I mean, it's not out of place completely, but the rest of the film seems very current. So anyway.
Hey, Amy, what restaurant do you want to open?
So I do really like Big Taters. I love that name so much. The first time I watched this, I'm like, she works at Big Taters. That's hilarious. But Carly,
so good.
We're gonna open up a franchise of Big Taters. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have waiters instead of waitresses, because it makes more sense. Just dudes in small little spandex shorts that with the.
Can they be the same print as the pants, but just, like, hot pants, essentially?
The hot pants with, like, the potato skin print on it.
Yes.
I mean, balls look way more like potatoes than boobs do. I'm just saying.
It's true.
It's great. I don't know who came up with that restaurant name, but probably.
High five, because it's brilliant. So we love it.
Every time, I couldn't stop laughing. And the owner of that company just taking everything so seriously about this ridiculous restaurant. There's no way anyone other than douchebags goes to.
It's so true. Well, and kids, I guess, family and children's, because they call, like, little taters.
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, or something? Or, like, see you later?
It's supposed to be, like, a Hooters, though, right? Okay. I mean, where Hooters is like, ooh, it's a family restaurant. Come see women in no clothes. Which, whatever, it's fine. I've been to Hooters before. It's not, like, risque or anything.
Yeah. Can I tell you, actually, the one time I ever went to Hooters, it was in New York when I was visiting, and I was like, oh, I've never been, like, let's go. And they were all wearing sweatshirts, and I was, like, really bummed out about it.
Why were they wearing sweatshirts?
I don't know, but I was like, are you kidding me?
I have literally never seen, are you sure you went to Hooters? Maybe you went somewhere.
100%. I was like, what is the deal? They're all wearing sweatshirts. Granted, it was, like, in the middle of winter, but still.
Yeah. No, I've gone in winter and it was, I mean, they have heating at those restaurants. I wouldn't know why they do.
That's what I'm saying. I was cheated. My Hooters experience.
So anyway, if anyone out there is interested in franchising Big Taters with me, you can reach me at Final Girls HC on Twitter. Let's talk business.
Awesome. I'm into it.
The bigger the taters, the better.
I like where this is going.
I'm going to get really dirty emails now. I'm not looking forward to it. Okay. So, Sarah, our main character, has friends.
Ish. That one girl is like the worst.
She's the absolute worst. I don't even know what her name is, but I just referred to her in my notes as Major Bitch.
Yeah, she makes, like, every time she opens her mouth, my, like, skin crawls and I get annoyed.
But she exists in real life.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a girl, you know this girl. Mm-hmm. You have met her and had to deal with her shit since high school.
She exists, for sure.
She exists in everyone's life and she's fucking horrible. But she's, like, exaggerated so much as such a horrible person. I see no redeeming qualities in her whatsoever. But yeah, I remember having girls like that growing up and it's like, why does everyone like these people? Nobody likes them for real, but for some reason we keep them around. I don't know.
Yeah, because they have to exist.
I guess. But she's,
even though they really shouldn't.
She just says all the wrong things all the time. That party that they go to at the beginning of the film, that party seems very strange, but at the same time, I'm like, I wonder if that's like a normal LA kind of party. Carly, would you like to weigh in on that?
I don't really party here in LA. So I don't know. Maybe.
I feel like that's like a normal thing. Like everyone gets up and they do some kind of performance art piece and then they, I don't know, drink a lot. And I don't know. It's weird, but I felt like strangely accurate. Although I have nothing to back that up.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No. Yeah. Now, when Sarah gets stressed out, she likes to pull out her hair. Which...
Yeah, she does like a really weird ritual.
Yes. It's very ritualistic.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anyone actually do that before. Have you?
No, I know that there's definitely like nervous tics that people have where they like legitimately pull out their hair, but I've never seen it in the way that she does it. I've never seen it really at all.
Which is more like
usually that's like,
it's like very spasmy and like almost orgasmic sometimes.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It's and when I say orgasmic, I mean not like sexual, but it's like obviously like a giant release for her.
It's a release, yeah. Yeah,
of like her stress and tension. Obviously that's why she does it. But it's I mean, it's an interesting character trait. I like that they threw that in there. Mm-hmm. Really great character development for her. You really feel how she feels. And I pretty much back up almost every decision she makes in this movie up until the worst one she makes.
But I feel like I definitely got the sense like she shouldn't be trying to be an actress. You know what I mean? Like she can't handle the pressure.
No.
And it's not something that she should further. But then she gets this weird opportunity that she wants it so badly, but she doesn't really have the like backbone to kind of follow it up.
Well, and she says she has no family. Her friends aren't even really her friends. She doesn't care about them, nor do they seem to really care about her, except for on a very superficial level. Mm-hmm. They're fake nice, the ones that are nice to her. I don't feel like they actually care about her. Even her roommate, I feel like it's like she's like pity friends with her. Like she's the friend that you hang out with because you don't want them to kill themselves, but not because you actually like them.
I like almost hated her roommate the most because like at least Super Bitchy Girl was like super upfront about, I mean, she would definitely say like, oh, maybe I should give my headshot and people would just scoff at her and she'd be like, I'm kidding. But, you know, she's not kidding.
She's not kidding.
But like her roommate is just like nice to her face and then immediately goes and tells all of the other friends about what just happened. Like
she's
behind
like
her back.
Yeah, she's like their charity case. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's like they took her under their wing. You know, maybe she just joined the group by accident by being someone's roommate. But I don't know. It's the whole thing. Like, you really feel like, okay, she hangs out with these people because she has to. Like, she has no one else. Mm-hmm. She has no one to relate to her. She has no family. She says that a couple times. And, you know, I feel for her. She has this dream and that's all she has. So that really makes you agree with every decision she basically makes, because mm-hmm. if that's all you have to live for and this is the only option in front of you, like,
I mean, she says, like, I've already, like, sold my soul.
Right.
Like, it might as well be for something that I love doing.
I honestly, if I were her, I don't know that I wouldn't have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although most of us have other things to live for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but if you're backed into the corner, you feel like you have no other choice. It's like either die or be happy, and that's the only way you'll be happy. Like, whatever.
Do you, girl?
Do you, girl? That's right. Okay. So when the girls are messing around by the pool and they get hurt and she laughs, I'm like, and then her roommate gives her a look like, you're a bitch. I'm like, fuck you. Those girls are bitches to her all the time. She laughs.
I totally laughed.
She's bitches to them, to her all the time. She laughs when they get hurt and you think she's a bitch. No, that I disagree with that. I mean, not that I condone laughing at people when they get hurt, but I guess if they're horrible to you, it can be funny. I'm really coming off as a terrible person in this episode.
You're like, wow, don't double cross Amy. She'll get ya.
I'm learning things about myself I had no idea existed. Yeah. And then there's this other part where Major Bitch is dancing. The guy's playing guitar and she just shows up and starts dancing. And then it turns into, like, I don't know, she starts making really offensive Native American sounds. Which
I know, yeah.
I don't know what that was. And then she starts saying, she's saying this while, like, other conversations are happening, but in the background you can hear her go, when I say rape, you say don't. Like, did you hear that?
What?
When
I totally did not. That is not something that was on my radar.
Watch it again. Watch that scene again. When Sarah's talking to that guy and the dance, the offensive dancing and drum circles going on, she goes, when I say rape, you say don't.
What in the world? Okay. Maybe they were like, let's see if people pick up on this. Let's put it in.
I don't know. I'm telling you. So fucking weird. Okay. So at that point, Sarah's like, fuck this noise. We didn't even talk about the douchebag. We don't have to go into every detail. But basically, evil dude wants to have sex with her for some reason. Don't know why. That's the one part of this movie where I'm like, why does she have to give him a blowjob again? Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Because then she, I don't know.
She needs his demon.
The demon semen.
She needs the demon semen to be this other thing.
Can that be what we call this episode?
Demon semen.
The demon semen.
I think that can be part of it.
Episode 6.
We can break that, because we can do whatever the fuck we want. I don't know that anyone's gonna watch it or listen to it if we're like, listen to our demon semen episode. It's so good.
Maybe that can just be a hashtag that we create. Episode 6. Hashtag demon. Everyone,
tweet at us. Hashtag demon semen.
Phenomenal.
Okay. All right, so she gives him the demon dude blowjob and wakes up the next day in her bed in her slutty outfit.
Quite a mess.
Yeah, she looks a mess. Although it's not the worst of it. It gets so much worse.
It does.
But she's instantly at that point different. So this is Sarah number two. First Sarah. Sarah number one is super timid and doesn't have a release. Her weird release is pulling her hair out of her head. Sarah number two is just sick and fucking pissed.
She hates everyone. She's very vocal about all of the feelings that she keeps in the first part of the movie. She lets out in the second part.
Yeah, and she lashes out in ways that are not really expected, or like if a normal person did that to you, you'd be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Did you forget your pills today? You know, but she's No, not good. They can tell she's sick. And she's starting to look worse and worse and worse. She's basically dying. And that's when the cool body horror stuff happens. She starts pulling out her nails. She goes to pull out her hair, and she just gets this giant chunk of scalp. Oh, Carly, when they did that scene where she's in the bathtub and she vomits all the maggots. She really did that. She did that. That's disgusting. She deserves an Oscar.
Yeah, kudos.
Someone give this girl an Oscar. She vomited up maggots for you.
I'd be like, you want me to put maggots in my mouth? I don't know.
If you don't like this movie, shame on you. She vomited up maggots for your entertainment.
Exactly. Give the girl a high five.
So good. Okay. So then she goes and she figures out the only way she's going to keep from dying is basically to start killing people. It's the only way she's going to survive this. Basically, she's going to die either way, but she'll be reborn if she decides to turn shit evil and start killing people. So she goes to kill her friends, which aren't her friends anyway. So no big loss there. But it is really fun to see her kill all these terrible people. I'm not going to lie.
It totally is. Yeah. And it's great. I don't want to give too much away if you haven't seen the movie, but like you should watch it and just enjoy it because it's so fabulous.
So good. She just, I don't know. I liked how like realistic it seemed, like the killing scenes seemed. That's hard to say. Let me try that again. Killing scenes seemed like very realistic. She had to go back and kill bitch face like twice or two or three times.
It's true. It's not like it was very, very realistic in the sense that it's not like she automatically goes over there and starts just like murdering everyone on a rampage. Like it starts small when she like slashes the girl on her face.
Yeah.
And then she kind of builds up to everything else and like.
Well, she goes back to that girl three times.
Oh, yeah. Because bitch will not die.
So she slashes her face. She was obviously not going to kill her, but a lot of blood is coming out of her face. Mm-hmm. And then she goes and stabs her in the gut, which doesn't kill her. That rarely does kill people right away. But then she puts a bag over her head. Like, she goes back to her a bunch of times. She kills someone else, she comes back to put a bag over her head. I know you said, let's not spoil it, but I'm spoiling it. And then she kills everyone else. I like the punch in the face with the weight thing. Just
with
like
the weight, oh, yeah.
So brutal. So brutal. So good.
Smashes her face right in.
So good. You know, and then all the lovely stuff happens and they take her away and they bury her in this bag and then she's reborn
with a beautiful bald head and a beautiful gown naked. And the gown is in a box.
The gown is naked.
The gown is in a box. She is naked.
She gets
and it says, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, new Sarah. That's probably not her name anymore. They don't tell us what her name is. And she's got these emerald green eyes, like super, super piercing and green and very not natural green eyes. Mm-hmm. And the final scene when she kills her roommate is just pure poetry and beautiful. Beautiful and terrifying at the same time, where she gets her to lay in bed with her when she's naked and has this bald head and then kisses the life out of her, I suppose.
Yeah.
She's
definitely otherworldly at this point because she, you can tell, like, the roommate doesn't want to lay down with her if she says, like, I don't want to.
Right.
But she basically makes her with her mind powers.
Right. Definitely. All in all, like, just a really great film. This is where I get excited about horror again. Like, I feel like there's movies like this coming out that are basically straight to VOD, right? Like, I don't remember this coming out in any major theaters or hearing anything about it up until, like, less than a year ago. So,
yeah, I saw it last year because my friend told me to watch it. And so I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's great. If you like this movie or are interested in this movie, I recommend you watch May, which is also a great movie about a loner girl that makes her own fate happen. Carrie is also a great one, which I'm sure you've seen that. And also Contracted, which is just a lot of body horror that's kind of similar to this. Have you
seen Amy's favorite?
Not my favorite.
You love body horror.
Oh, yeah, but Contracted's not my favorite. But
oh, no. Body horror.
But it's kind of like similar, like body horror stuff happening. But yeah, all in all, huge recommend for me. I love this direction that horror is going in, like these smaller release movies that are super creative and interesting. It's too bad Hollywood doesn't seem to be realizing that these movies exist and they're awesome because they keep putting out the same Bye Bye Man shit over and over again. But maybe they'll catch on soon. Keep doing what you're doing.
Definitely check this out.
Yes. Check it out in case you didn't already. Hopefully you did, because I just spoiled it. I did. We do this every time. They should know by now, unless it's true. A new listener. If you're a new listener, sorry. Okay, so Sacrifice is our next film.
Which was not even a horror movie.
No, it wasn't. It was barely a movie.
Yeah, I was very disappointed that Netflix told me that this was a scary movie. And even, like, the cover of it looks...
It looks 100% like a horror movie.
Yeah.
You read the synopsis, it sounds 100% like a horror movie, and then you get this stupid mystery garbage that's...
It's like a crime drama. It's not even a thriller.
No. There's nothing. I don't understand. I'm very upset. I was very disappointed in what this movie actually was. It's very misleading. It's based on a novel by Sharon Bolton. I assume by the same name, Sacrifice. The screenplay was written by the director, Peter Dowling. And, you know, he's done some stuff. He did Flight Plan in 2005, which was a pretty big release. I remember that coming out. And then he also did Stag Night, which was an actual horror film from 2008, which I never heard of or saw.
I have not seen either of those.
I haven't either, but I know I've heard of Flight Plan. I know that was a big theater release. So I
with Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, yes. So he has done stuff. Maybe he's just not good for writing, because I assume this book is good. Usually, books that become movies are good books. That's why they become movies. I know this was a giant hit in the UK, so our listeners in the UK might be familiar with it. I'm sure our American listeners might also. But the story doesn't seem bad, but the movie's just, it's so rushed. And
it's really awkward, and it doesn't...
It is awkward.
It doesn't flow the way it should flow, and... It's weird. It's a weird watch.
The first part, the best part of your film shouldn't be the opening sequence before anything happens.
Agreed.
But it was in this.
Yeah.
The opening sequence is beautiful. They did a lovely job on it. So first off, we have a scene where a woman doctor is wearing high heels. Why? Why?
What? They always do that. They always do that.
In a hospital. A woman.
No, in movies, not in real life. I've never seen
that. I do not accept that. But they do not always do that. They do that in bad movies that have apparently people have never been to a hospital or seen doctors that have to run around. She's dealing with an emergency situation and you're running around in high heels. Go fuck yourself. There's no way that's real. You're going to twist your ankle and that's no help to anybody. Who are you saving then? No bun. That's
no bun.
No one and nobody in the same word. No bun. I'm sticking with it. It's going to become a thing. No bun. Carly, stop muting yourself when you're laughing because it sounds like I'm just laughing at myself.
I'm sorry. Isn't that great, though? Because it makes laughing. You just seem real crazy.
She just muted herself. Okay, sorry.
This movie just wasn't, it didn't deliver for me. Everything was very predictable, but like not even in a good way. Like it just wasn't, nothing about this movie really took me in, I guess.
Like they had so much that they could have done with it. And instead it was just like her
digging. It fell flat.
Yeah. And she was just digging through everyone's trash to get clues. And the clues that were right in front of her fucking face she couldn't get. But the clues that, oh, I'll contact this guy at Oxford and he'll give me all this information. Like, it's such bullshit. Like, you have all this information right in front of you. You shouldn't have to go to Oxford and talk to some random dude. Like, just, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The people around her are acting super suspicious. And the more suspicious they act, the more she seems to trust them for some reason. Like, the bartender who was, like, trying to get her to not talk to the guy, the one guy that knew what she was trying to read.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, oh, don't talk to him and blah, blah. Like, obviously, that's suspicious. You follow that guy out of the bar and you talk
exactly.
to him. You don't fucking accept it and then later ask the bartender for that guy's address. You're a fucking moron. Like, don't you notice that he's being super suspicious?
Yeah, for some
reason, this doctor decides to be a detective and out of nowhere and for basically no reason. So she finds this body. She somehow knows how to work a large digger machine. Somehow she knows how to do that.
She's a farm girl all of a sudden.
She's apparently a farm girl who wears high heels at work when she's working as a doctor. So all of this makes a lot of sense. She knows how to work a digger, and she goes to bury a dead cow and then ends up finding a dead body. And what?
I thought about that, too, because I was like, who, as an obstetrician who, like, takes care of, like, little babies or unborn babies all day, calls in and has someone else take care of her patients so she can bury a dead horse?
No, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Call someone and have them deal with it. Why would you even deal with that? Why are you taking that in your own hands? She calls her husband, then gives up. calls the hospital and says, oh, I can't work today. I have to take care of this dead cow. Like, no. Call. There's someone else to call. It's like an island with a million farms on it. I'm sure someone else can help you that's not your husband.
Nothing about this movie makes sense.
It's really not good. I'm really sorry if you watched this in preparation of this podcast. I hope you continue to listen to us, even though I made you watch this horrible movie.
We had to sit through it, too.
I know. Okay, so...
So not good.
I figured it out pretty much at the beginning of the movie. The second she's having dinner with his family, I'm like, oh, okay, so I get everything about this movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when she locks the office. The lady locks the dad's office.
Which I didn't understand, because this is a group of dudes. Like, there's no women in on this. If you're a woman and you're in on it, you're dead. So
that's very true.
What the hell do you know about it, mom? Fake mom, not even real mom.
She doesn't make sense. Nothing.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
This movie's just bad.
It's really like nothing makes sense. Okay, let me talk about some other things that don't make sense. So they exhume the dead body. I don't know if that's the right word. I might be using the wrong term. I'm going to use it anyway. They exhume the dead body and they figure out what happened to it. And then 2 weeks later, she goes into that same room to search for clues, and the dead body's still laying out there, not refrigerated or anything. It's in exactly the same shape as it was, in exactly the same position, in exactly the same room. What the fuck?
They're slow workers on that island.
What the fuck? Put it in a cooler. Do something. Like, it would not still be laying there.
No.
There's no fucking way. Oh, I was so angry. Also, when she's in the hospital late at night doing research and some dude sees her and starts chasing her around, the hospital's fucking empty. Empty. Oh,
my favorite part.
Wait. The hospital is empty? Why? It's a hospital. It doesn't close. People are suddenly not sick and dying because it's dark out. You can't just lock.
Maybe it's not an ER. I don't know.
They chain the door? Who chains a door when you lock it? What is this, 1920? No.
My absolute favorite thing that I literally started laughing is when she's running away from the guy. When she's running away from the guy and she's going through the doors, like, that you push the button and it opens.
Yeah.
The doors start opening before she pushes the button. And they start opening, and then she's like, oh, and then she pushes the button. But by, like, the time that she's already, the doors have been opening for, like, 3 seconds, I was like, whoops, that's a production error.
I didn't notice that. My God. What else do I have? There's so many, like, exclamation points in my notes.
It's just bad, guys.
I called her getting Dana's baby very early in the movie. Basically, once I knew Dana was pregnant.
Yeah.
And it said 8 months later. Okay, well, we know that she's 6 weeks pregnant, so 8 months later just makes sense. That's fucking stupid. Okay. And I don't know. And then she walks into the room where she sees all the branders for like their whatever rituals they do, where they burn these symbols into these women. And
I like that it went through every single one that was like on her body. I was like, why?
You don't have to show all of them. If one person has one of those, we get it. Like,
how dumb is your audience that you need to like, or how dumb do you think your audience is?
They have zero respect for their audience.
Yeah.
Like at all. Like, they think you're so dumb and they're going to walk you through everything and so much hand holding is happening. Like way too much hand holding.
Agreed.
And yeah. And so when she gets in this room, there's candles fucking lit everywhere. So it's a party with a bunch of people and there's a secret room hidden with candles lit everywhere. What? Why? Why are they lit right then? There's no ritual happening. It's just weird. Fire hazard is what I wrote. And so what happens to these women if they have girls? Is this only an issue if they have boys?
I have no idea. I don't know.
All right. There was a scene also at the end when the husband's explaining why she kept having miscarriages and he's injecting himself with male contraception.
Yeah, with
that's not
it's like illegal, off the market, hasn't been tested, but apparently it works.
Like, why? What?
It's so bizarre to me because
it's so bad. Sorry, continue.
She's like freaking out and she's so mad at him and she runs away. And then all of a sudden when they're in the hospital rescuing Dana, they're like best friends and working together.
Yeah. No, it's...
I'm like, was there a scene cut where they like talk that about like being on the same team? Because like she leaves him pissed and freaking out and like not trusting him at all, and then all of a sudden he's like, he's gone, it's clear, let's go, let's get her out of here.
Well, I mean, he is helping her. He does like kill that guy. Maybe she noticed that. I don't know.
She didn't see him kill the guy though, because she was long gone.
Well, I'm not trying to make excuses for this film. It's fucking horrible.
It made no sense to me.
It's stupid. It's really bad. But she did. She just suddenly trust her husband. Although, he's like the only character I trusted the whole time. She's talking to all these strangers like they're her best friends, and she doesn't tell her husband jack shit. Where I feel like a lot of this could have been explained earlier in the movie if you just fucking talked to your husband.
Yeah.
That's
why I was surprised at how, like pissed she was when he was like, obviously, like, I get it. Like, she's mad. But, yeah. Like... he's the only person that she can trust. Like, obviously, he was trying to protect her from the beginning, and she's just, like, flying off the rails.
Yeah. It's just bad. The writing is bad. It's not even... the acting's not even bad. I feel like the acting was fine.
They did what they could.
They did what they could with a shitty fucking script. Like, yeah. Really bad. It just rushed through everything, over-explained stuff, but really quickly... Mm-hmm. Somehow you caught it, but at the same time, it's like these scenes go so fast. There's zero character development. There's nothing. They give you nothing. You care about no one at all. Not even Tora, the main character. You get two shits about her. Like, what's her character development? She had miscarriages. That's not character development. That's something that happened to her. It doesn't explain jack shit. It only explains that she loves children. Okay, so she's a woman that loves children. That's the only character development we get? Fuck that.
And she wants to all of a sudden be a detective for no reason.
For no reason. She just suddenly stops being a doctor and becomes this detective. It doesn't...
I honestly, like, would not have given that a second thought. Like, if I found a body, call the police and let them deal with it. I wouldn't be like, let me help you sit in on this and figure out this with you. If someone was like, this has been dead for 200 years, this is why, I'd be like, okay, that's legit. You're the police. You know what you're talking about.
And I sincerely doubt the novel is bad. I don't want to shit talk the novel because I'm sure like that she did a great job. And I could see how this story could be interesting if it was done properly. I sympathize with the act of trying to transcribe and get all these interesting details from a novel to a film. It's not an easy task. It's rarely done well. Usually, if you like a book and you go see the movie adaptation, you're not thrilled with it. So it's a really difficult task for sure. but he did a horrible job. Like, I never read this book, and I'll tell you right now, he did a fucking shitty job. I don't... I'm sorry, Peter A. Dowling. Perhaps you will do something better next time. Fuck. It's not good, guys.
No, don't trouble yourself.
Fucking skip that shit. Okay. Movies that are better than this and similarly themed and are actually horror movies, I would recommend maybe They're Watching, which is on Netflix right now. It's not an awesome film, but it's a lot better than this. Wakewood is also another one. It's pretty good. It's like a small town out to get you type of feel.
I've seen that.
Not a flawless film again, but a million times better than this. Also, Jug Face is a underrated movie. It's not great, but it's really creative, and I've never seen anything like it. Again, much better than this. Or Children of the Corn, the lovely classic Children of the Corn.
Which makes me think of Village of the Damned.
Could be.
Not the same.
So, I mean, I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of movies that do this better. If you're interested, I would read the novel. Skip the movie. Unless you really like watching bad movies. In which case, this might be your thing. Okay. What else we got, girl? You want to talk about some TV shows?
Let's talk about some TV shows. Now, for this, I'm not going to give away any spoilers.
Please don't.
But I will say I watched the new episode. By this time, there will be a second episode of Exorcist. But as of today, Friday the 30th, there's only been one. Tonight, I think they're going to air the second episode.
Yes.
And I was actually really, really impressed by this pilot. I didn't know what to expect. And this first episode definitely made me want to see where they take it.
I agree. I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Me too.
I thought they did a good job. I'm interested to see where it will go.
Me too. And I'm excited to see What's-Her-Face, Gina Davis, in something, because we haven't seen her in anything in a really long time.
I know. She's fantastic. Love the Gina. Okay. What else you got? You watched Scream Queens. Tell us about Scream Queens.
I did watch Scream Queens. I really liked it. I loved the first season. I don't know if you watched the first season at all.
I've watched zero of it.
Okay. It's funny.
Yeah.
But it's also like what caught me in the first season, because obviously Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Yeah.
And so the first season takes place at school. But it's really cool. In one of her scenes, they do a shot for shot of Psycho.
Basically, oh, cool.
Which, of course, stars Jamie Lee Curtis's mom. And so it was really fun to, like, watch that. But, yeah, so this season takes place in a hospital.
Okay.
And
are they the same characters?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a continuation of the same story. It's not like an American Horror Story where they recycle actors and do different things.
Correct.
Okay.
Which I originally thought it was going to be, which wouldn't have been totally far-fetched because, of course, Ryan Murphy is one of the creators who also created American Horror Story, but also created Glee. So
yeah.
It kind of has that, like, first season of Glee funniness where it's, like, really quirky and,
yeah,
like... not always, like, politically correct. In fact, very often it is, like, not, and which, right, I think is hilarious, and I love it. Now we're joined by two new doctors. One of them's Taylor Lautner, which we haven't seen him in, like, anything except for those Adam Sandler movies that on Netflix.
Right.
And then also John Stamos joins the cast.
John
as well.
Stamos, really?
And Kirstie Alley.
Oh.
As well. So we've got a really great cast for the second season, and I caught up yesterday. I think there's three episodes out right now, and they're a lot of fun. They're,
we'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I have heard that it's, like, silly, but also really good. I liked the first, like, season or two of Glee, and then I didn't care, and I liked the first season or two of Earth. A couple seasons of American Horror Story, and then I not so much. So maybe at least the first couple seasons are worth watching of Scream Queens. I'll try it out.
Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of fun. I really like it.
Yeah.
And the first season's great too. So it's just really funny. Like, it's great. I like it.
Great. And then you're watching, you started watching American Horror Story Roanoke also, right?
I did, and I am like so pleasantly surprised by because I tried to watch Hotel. I know we talked about this a little bit, and I just could not. I think I got through 1.5 episodes. It did not grab me. I
Yeah.
couldn't watch it.
I felt the same way. I watched one episode and I'm like, nope, not for me. I love Lady Gaga too. I'm not like, ugh. I'm not one of those people. I love Lady Gaga and everything she does. I did not like this, so I guess this is the exception to the rule. But I feel like a lot of people, I think a lot of people feel this way, that the first season of American Horror Story is really great. It's not without its faults, but it's entertaining. The second season's a meh. And then the third season's pretty good, and then after that it's fucking shit. And I don't trust it anymore. I don't like how they, for some reason, feel like they need to shove all this shit into one season. I wish they'd just focus on one real plot and have a couple B and C plots in the background. Whereas instead they have AAA plots. They have three A plots and they don't go together at all. A great example of it is the second season where
Terrible. I did not like the second season at
there's
all.
aliens and a sadistic scientist and an exorcism and a serial killer. You don't need all that fucking shit. Pick
It was
one,
too
dude.
much.
Pick one and do it well. Stop doing, why are you doing four fucking things? Like, it's so scattered and nobody appreciates it. Have a one fuck work on getting one cohesive storyline. They do scary really well. They know how to do it. That's why it's so upsetting. That's why so many people are pissed off. That's why I'm so passionate about it. It's because I know they could do a really fucking good season if they just focused on one thing and did it well. So I know I'm hearing really good things about this one.
I really like it. It's
But they start off strong always. Like every season starts off strong. And then they
I don't
start.
feel like that because Hotel started off terrible for
Okay.
me.
Well, Hotel being the exception. But even season two started off strong. And then all of a sudden they started throwing all this other shit in. And I was like, come on, guys. Stop it. I know you can do it. Stop it.
But this also I think has we're 3 episodes in and I really like the way that they've done it. It's very different where they are kind of doing it, not like a reality show, but
Documentary.
like a documentary, like where they have Lily, what's her name? Hold on, I have to bring this up, otherwise it's gonna bother me.
It's fine.
How do you say her name? R Rabe? Rob? RABE.
Fuck if I know. Rape, Rob, Rob,
Rob.
Rape, Rob.
What Ray Rob? So, you have Lily Rob, correct me if I'm pronouncing her name wrong. And then another gentleman who has not been in the show before, I'm not familiar with his name, who are a couple and they're being interviewed for this documentary. And then they have like real life reenactments where Sarah Paulson and Cuba Gooding Jr. Are the couple in the reenactment. And so you have some people telling the story as it's being like acted out and you're seeing it reenacted. And it's really interesting the way that they're doing it. And so far the story's been cohesive. I haven't noticed obviously they have like the characters that are going through their personal stuff while this crazy shit is happening at this house that they've just bought in Roanoke. And it's just, I don't know, I'm gonna keep watching it. I think that it's fun and interesting, and I've been enjoying it.
I mean, I've been hearing nothing but good things. I'm gonna wait a few more episodes until I jump in, at least. I don't think I can jump in yet. But I will in the meantime try out Scream Queens. I'll start at the first season. We also have Black Mirror, you guys. Black Mirror, which won our poll that we did on Twitter, where we asked you a bunch of I think we did a total of three polls. We did two sets of the first round and then Final Round and Black Mirror won. Everyone's most excited and loves Black Mirror. If you haven't checked out Black Mirror, it's on Netflix, and new episodes are coming out October 21st, so please check it out. It's a British horror anthology type show.
Every kind of along the lines of like Twilight Zone a little bit.
Yes, and it's only technology based. Mm-hmm. So, and Black Mirror refers to like your reflection in a screen. So that's what that means, in case you're curious. And each episode's different. Some of them are better than others. I don't even really recommend starting with the first episode. It's not my favorite. If you're one of those people that watch one of something and then if you hate it, you don't keep watching, don't start with one. Because it's not bad, but it's by far the worst one, I think, personally. How do you feel about the first one?
I was okay with it. I think when I started watching that series, I definitely probably didn't pay really close attention to the first episode. Because it didn't really capture my attention.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to keep going with it. And then when I realized that you don't really have to watch them consecutively.
You don't have to watch them consecutively or in order. Yeah. The new season will be the same. It'll be all new. Every storyline, every episode's a different storyline, different characters, different everything. And they really are standalone pieces with just one main theme, which is technology's terrifying. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily recommend binge watching them because unless you're really interested in throwing your phone away for a couple weeks, because after I binge watched this, I flipped the fuck out and stopped using my phone for a week, which is fun. It's a fun little adventure. Just make sure you keep listening to podcasts. They're important.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about it. At some point.
Yeah. Honestly, once these come out, I'm binge watching them and I'm sure I'm going to talk about them. I will not spoil them, I promise. I will.
Scream 2 came to Netflix today.
You keep calling it Scream 2.
Oh, Scream the series.
Just say the second season of Scream.
But it's called Scream the series. I don't know.
It's fine, but it's not Scream 2.
You guys know what I'm talking about, probably, but it's not Scream 2.
No.
The great, yeah.
Which is also on Netflix, I'm just saying.
On Netflix.
I don't want you to confuse people.
I am. I'm just going to confuse everyone. And then we have Hotel coming next month, or in October. And when I say next month, I feel like it sounds so far away when, like, October's tomorrow.
Yeah, let's just pretend it's October now. What? I'm so excited.
Woo!
So
it is. When you hear this, it will be October.
It's already October as this hits your ear holes.
We're so excited.
So stoked. Happy October, horror lovers. Yay. Okay. Carly and I are doing a really fun thing for the month of October. We are going to watch one horror movie at least per day. Every day in the month of October. You can follow that activity on Letterboxd if you're on it. Letterboxd.com. Sign up. It's a really fun website where you can rate and review every movie you see and make lists of the movies you're watching for other people to read and enjoy. If you want to follow me on there, my name is Awiki, A-W-I-K-I. I don't know what yours is, Carly, but...
I don't either. I'm looking it up right now.
It's okay. I'll keep talking while you look it up. It's a great website, and I have a plan, but it's not a concrete plan for all the movies I'm going to watch, so I will keep you updated on what I'm watching, and you please feel free to do the same. We can make our October 31st lists and share them with each other. So let's do that, and you can make notes and really fun things. So let's do that, guys. Join in the fun.
Apparently I can't figure out what my password is, so I'll just post my username on Twitter.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Or you can find her on me, on mine. She follows me on my Letterboxd.
Sure,
so
you.
Yeah, so that's lots of fun. Let's do that. Join in. It's a good time. Also, so next week we have a fun Let's Make a Monster episode getting ready for you. It's going to be our second monthly installment of Let's Make a Monster. If you're new to the podcast, that is our monthly episode where we pull in one of my non-horror loving friends. I have several, and I force them to watch a horror movie in hopes that they will enjoy it and be willing to watch more horror movies with me, because I always watch them by myself. Very
selfish. It's so fun. It's so fun to talk about it. I love these episodes.
Our next
done one.
We've only done one, but I'm really stoked for this one. This is my friend Lizzie is going to be on, and we're going to watch American Werewolf in London. So look forward to that. That is also streaming, so feel free to go ahead and watch it. I think it's on Amazon Prime, if I'm not mistaken. I probably should have written that down. I promise I do write a bunch of stuff down, but for some reason I always forget some stuff.
I think that's right.
I promise it's streaming. It's either on Hulu or Amazon Prime. Check it out. It's awesome if you haven't already, and we will be watching that. Also, we are going to have a bonus episode coming up hopefully next week sometime. It'll be a short episode. WeAreColony.com contacted us and gave us a screener of Under the Shadow, the 2016 Iranian film directed by Babak Anvari. I hope I'm saying that right. It's won several awards, and it looks so good.
I'm so excited.
I've been looking forward to this movie for a long time. So when they contacted us offering a screener for a review episode, I'm like, hell yes. It's not typically what we do, but I will make it something we do if we get good movies. So we'll make it a bonus episode. We won't let it affect the rest of our October programming because we have a bunch of stuff planned out for you guys. But we will do a short review of that. Spoiler free, I promise. That's due for release on October 7th. So we're going to probably time it about the same time as it's released. It's going to be a VOD release. So I'm not sure exactly what that means. I was trying to get more details. I will keep you updated on that. I know Netflix has bought the rights to it back in January. So
I wonder if it's going to have a limited theater release, because it's listed on Flixster, and usually that only is movies that are coming to theater.
It's coming to theater also. It's going to be one of split VOD and theater releases, I think. Gotcha. Please correct me if I'm wrong. This is all the information I could find on it. But I do believe it's going to be probably a limited theater release. Probably like art house theaters will do it.
Yeah, probably like Los Angeles, California, and Chicago or something.
Whatever those things are. It will also be available to rent, I'm sure of it. And eventually it will be on Netflix. I just don't know how soon. Hopefully by the end of the year. Either way, it will be a spoiler-free review, and we'll just let you know how awesome it is, I'm sure. Hopefully we love it.
I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, super stoked about that. You know, and then for the rest of October, we have some plans. They're not concrete yet, so we'll divulge more information next time. Do you have anything else you'd like to discuss, Miss Carly, before we close out?
I do not. I think we have covered all the things.
All the things. Awesome. Okay. Big thanks to Troy Ofdahl. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Again, I'm terrible with names, guys. From Cave Bastard, who did our song, Sequencing the Drone. Also, big thanks to Jason Link for our amazing logo. Please visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for their contact information if you're interested in learning more about them. Also, we are now on Stitcher. We are now on Google Play. We have been on iTunes, so we are even easier to find than before. Please follow us. Tweet at us. Send us reviews.
Even just say hi.
Yeah.
We like talking to you.
We do. We love the feedback. And it only makes us better. So please continue to do so. You can email us at finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us, finalgirlshc. We're on Instagram, finalgirlshorrorcast, and on Facebook by the same name. Please follow us on all those places and contact us. All right, that concludes our episode for today. Please see us next time for Let's Make a Monster, which will be out next weekend. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.